Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield & Company.
O'clock hours here. We just mentioned a couple of minutes ago. College football season opens up on August 24th. What are we at now? 18th of July. So it's close. And the real sports gamblers have done their research. Many of them have dozens, if not hundreds, of bets in. We're going to talk to one of those guys in Kenny White here in just a couple of seconds. We're live at Stadium Swim. We're watching the Summer League going down over at the Thomas and Mack. Remember, UNLVtickets.com. Still plenty of tickets available through the 22nd. Adults 45, kids 35. You get up to 8 games per day. Alex White is in co-hosting here on Cofield & Company. So let's bring in Kenny White. Kenny, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Steve, my fellow Jerseyite friend. Doing very well. Glad to be here. Glad that, you know, Alex is on the show. It's awesome.
Good deal. Good deal. We've been doing a lot of WNBA today because I love it, and I'm always curious about betting. So we're going to get into that. But, Alex, let's start with what, a little NBA Summer League, right?
Yeah, so Steve was just talking about people getting ready for football. Of course, we are doing that as well, but still betting WNBA every day, which now we have a little bit of a break. And you are handicapping the Summer League. Can you tell us how that has been going?
Yeah, this is it's one of my favorite times of year. You know, probably the only person out there sitting at my desk right now, and I'm handicapping the $1 million tournament. But last week or the week before that, I was sitting at my desk, hand rating out every player in the NBA Summer League, so I know how good these teams are. And you know, it's such a huge advantage where I've got, you know, I can make a college football line. I could have a touchdown difference. I could have a 10-point difference. But in a professional league like the NBA and the Summer League, you would never think you would make a game 21 and you're laying 3.5 and your team wins by 30. My first 15 bets, I think I was 12-3, and several were, you know, that type of action. I wish this league would go for 2 months instead of just 10 days.
And then how much does this help you going into the NBA season?
Oh, zero. I'm not even going to, you know, I very rarely bet the NBA games, you know, every once in a while if I see a spot, but I keep up with it every day, but it's not a sport that I bet. I'm busier betting college basketball, you know, during that time of year. So this is kind of a niche area where not a lot of people are following it. The only bad part about it, there's no second half betting. There are a couple places that are putting up in-game wagering on it, but not a lot. So yeah, I wish there was more people doing halftimes. The Westgate is the only book in town doing halftime betting.
Let's go to the WNBA that has all the eyes on them right now. Big conversation is the rookie of the year. Caitlin Clark is now minus 1,200. Angel Reese plus 550. 80% of the money is on Reese, though, to win that award. Do you see a spot where she could actually beat out Caitlin Clark this year?
Yes, Angel Reese is a great player and obviously racking up the double-doubles. So it's going to be I think it could be a race down to the wire, but Caitlin Clark has so much publicity behind her, and she has really, I think, shown in more improvement from the start of the year until now than Angel Reese has. So it's probably Caitlin Clark's award to win at this point. She'd have to really go bad in the second half of the season. And, you know, with this break, it really gives players like Clark and Reese a chance to now be second-year players instead of rookies now. So I think you're going to see both girls play really well in the second half of that season.
One more for you. I'm really excited about the USA national team going up against Team WNBA. We talked earlier today. I was comparing and asking you what you thought the line would be. Can you tell us a kind of an estimation on where you think the spread is going to be?
Yeah, I wish I had a guess. You know, and we've got three generations of odds makers. You know, I got the line from my dad, and he handicapped the game for me because I'm busy with NBA Summer League and the TBT. So I'm hoping this line comes out, you know, the U.S. national team fairly low, because the last time they played, Team WNBA won the game. So we'll see where it comes out, but It'd be interesting how they set the total. I don't know if you told the story already, Alex, but 2021, Circa put out 250 on the game and it really handicapped it as a regular all-star game. But it's definitely not that type of game when you got the national team playing, because they're going to play defense, and that forces the team WNBA to play defense as well.
Kenny White's with us, with Alex and Cofield. That's what I'm curious about, too. So that, okay, there's a little evidence there. My curiosity was, is this going to be played like a real game? So on the Team USA side, you're suggesting, hey, they're playing defense. I wonder behind the scenes if they tell the WNBA All-Stars a certain way to play. Like, listen, if I'm – I mean, this is the way I would play, right? You just mentioned Jersey. If I'm playing on the WNBA All-Stars, I'm going all out. But I also might mess someone up and put them out for the freaking – for the Olympics. So I wonder what the approach is from the supposed dog here. Are they allowed to go, you know, full bore, and what happens, happens?
I'm going to guess they are, Steve, that, you know, when you try not to play the way you're supposed to play, maybe something ends up happening then. You know, I think a lot of teams, you know, they go full out in their practices even. So I don't think they're worried about injury. It'll be a clean game, but I think both teams will definitely play defense. When you look back just last year, you know, Team Stewart, Team Wilson, 143, 127. The year before that, 134, 112. You'll get a 246, and then you go back to 2021, and the final score was NBA All-Stars 93, USA 85. Those are the best players in the world going up against each other. So I got a feeling that this total could be pretty much right around that number, 178, 180. I'm hoping they put it up in the 200s, though.
What would you do? Caitlin Clark, over under points, 13 and a half. What would you do?
Oh boy, I'd rather go over her assists. I think that's one thing that she's really been piling up lately. So, you know, I think she gets a lot of attention, and obviously Team USA is going to put their best defender on Caitlin Clark. So she's going to be, I think she'll be in for a tough game. I think scoring, I might go under in the scoring, but I'd maybe look to go over in assists.
You know, I'll be honest, I don't know who the coach is for the All-Stars. We can look that up. I think to get Team USA ready for the Olympics, Caitlin Clark should play the two.
Yeah,
I actually
two,
think she should be playing off the ball and allowed to bomb threes, and that's how they have to chase her around, not ball dominant in hand playing point guard.
Yeah, two Cheryl coaches. Cheryl Reeve, who's the Minnesota Lynx head coach, and she is doing a tremendous job with that team this year. She is a great basketball coach. So Team USA got a great coach. And then the WNBA went with Cheryl Miller, who was a one-time head coach of the Phoenix Mercury. And remember, Cheryl Miller, three-time NCAA Player of the Year. She was a tremendous basketball player and the sister of Reggie Miller. So they got two great coaches, and yeah, it's going to be a fun game. But I agree with you. I think that take a little pressure off Caitlin Clark. Let her play off the ball. But she's so good with it, and she's able to set her teammates up. It's really hard to, you know, not let her just try to take over a game.
Cofield, Alex is here at Circa Las Vegas on this Thursday. Alex, I know you wanted to get into MLB and get Kenny's angles on the second half. What do you want to go with?
Well, really just looking at the divisions right now and kind of the wild card race, is there any teams that you would make a case for that could maybe sneak in, steal the division, or go pretty far in the playoffs?
You know, Seattle's a team that I'm on already. I bet them to win the American League and to win the World Series at pretty good prices. And then all of a sudden, they were a huge favorite. But lately, the Astros have gotten hot and played well. But that Seattle Mariner pitching rotation is one of the best in baseball. And they've yet to hit. When this team starts to hit, look out. And I think they will. I think they've got enough guys in their lineup that they can hit. But they're, you know, they're one game up on Houston right now. But someone who may come back, tough to say. The Dodgers, I think, are pretty much locked in. I love the way the Brewers are playing. The Cardinals, 4.5 out. Man, I think they have the talent to maybe make a little run at the division. I guess the one biggest one, you got to look at the Atlanta Braves. Even without their best player out of the lineup, they're still outstanding. I got a great pitching staff, 8.5 out right now. They're one of the top five teams in the league. And I think the Braves could make a run at the Phillies. So that might be one to take a look at. You'll get a good price on a really good baseball team.
You brought up a few of the American League teams with the Mariners and the Astros, but looking at the Central here with the Guardians, are you buying this team? Could this be the best team in the American?
Yeah, I'm buying. I don't know if they're not the best team in the American League, but they're the best team in the Central. Love their lineup. They can hit 9 left-handed hitters at any time. And then you throw a lefty at them, they can switch up and bring in 6 right-handed bats because they're switch hitters in the lineup. And they're having a lot of fun with their new manager. The pitching staff is very, very solid. And boy, they don't lose games at home, and they're going to have more home games in the second half than they will the first half. So I think Cleveland wins the Central.
All right. Well, then who is your top team in the American League right now?
I think Seattle is for me. I've got them rated just slightly higher than the Baltimore Orioles and the Yankees, who I've got 2 and 3, and then the Astros, then followed by Cleveland. So that's kind of my top 5 of the American League. But it's Seattle. I think they're the best team in the American League right now. They haven't played like it all year, which I'm kind of glad. I think it's their time right now. The second half of the season, I really like to jump on streaks, because you'll get somebody's going to run off an 8-10 game winning streak out of the gate in the second half. After they win a couple, you need to start jumping on that streak.
Kenny White is up on Cofield and Company here on this Thursday. Kenny, tell people in the Vegas audience and watching our videos up online, best place to consume your stuff is where?
Yeah, KennyWhiteSports.com, Steve, and on that site you can get my power ratings that come out every day. It's the best value in sports for a sports bettor. It's a foundation for you to get you started for the day and what I think the line should be. So $20 a month, it's a steal. And whatever sports I'm working on, you get college football, NFL, college basketball, NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball.
I can't wait to see your college football power ratings because of the transfer portal and how many quarterbacks transferred, how many QB situations are up in the air, which brings us to the Mountain West Conference. Season's going to open up week 0 as Nevada is playing a game in week 0. The odds to win the championship game, so to win the title, Boise, even. Fresno State just lost its coach 2 days ago, 4-1. UNLV is sitting at plus 550. Then a little further back, CSU at 12, Air Force at 12, Wyoming at 14. What do you think of the race for the title at the top of the Mountain West?
Well, to be honest, Steve, I don't have a lot of work done on the FBS teams yet. I've been starting first on FCS. I try to attack markets that there's not a lot of people betting into. So the big advantage for me when I'm the only one that's betting, and I don't have to fight anybody else for numbers. But in the Mountain West Conference, I think I heard you mention earlier that Odom did just a great job for UNLV last year. It was a tremendous job. I couldn't believe how well he did. It was not by mistake. He knows how to coach. I liked him when I read about him at Missouri. He just didn't have the players for the conference. But this guy can coach football, and he can get guys to go run through a brick wall for him. So I think UNLV's got a chance to be in it all the way. I know Boise's got the best team. Definitely the best team in the conference, but I like UNLV's chances. They got a lot of guys coming back. They're going to be a solid football team once again.
A couple of nuggets, pro and con, on this. One, because of all the coaching changes around the country and specifically in the Mountain West Conference, including the Boise coach, who's now a head coach, he was interim last year, UNLV will face 10 first-time head coaches at that stop, 10 out of the 12 games. The other nugget, though, pushing against that, is their kicking game has been unbelievable the last 4 or 5 years. And finally, those guys are gone, so I wonder what's going to happen with their kick game. Let's go top surface here in college football. South Point just put up odds. Field, against Ohio State or Georgia to win the title. The split as of 2 days ago was basically 110. What would you do with this? I mean, I'm always of the thought that, hey, whoever you think is going to win ain't going to win, and I would go Field. What would you do with this?
Yeah, I would go Field. Just on principle of how many teams you're going to get. And now with the new playoff system, you have to win more than two games. So I think it makes it a lot more difficult for the best teams in the game. I'm looking at my ratings from last year, and my top nine teams are within a touchdown of each other. So I would definitely take the Field in that bet. There's some really good football teams. And as you mentioned, the transfer portal has made the game so much different. There's so many teams that are able to load up and get more talent than you'd ever think they would have. So that's what's fun. I love the transfer portal. For me as a bettor on the other side of the counter, I'm sure the sports books hate it because it's the unknown for them. And it's going to take them 3-4 weeks for them to catch up on a couple of teams that picked up a lot of really good players and was able to mesh really quick over the summertime, and they're ready to go. You know, you got to look for coaches in this day and age. He always had to, but more than ever now, that coach and his staff are so important.
That's a good thought. Would you try to pinpoint teams that have experience, but also that maybe you have a connect with, you know them well, so you know what the transfers may do? You can, because a lot of times, like I'll give you an example. Fresno State has a kid coming in from USC, Corey Foreman, defensive lineman, who was like a top five recruit, I mean, literally in the country. I don't know what he's going to do there. I don't know if he's in the rotation. I don't know what his attitude is. Like, I'm sure you must have some connection. You know, you really follow some programs where you're like, all right, I know the seven transfers they have are actually going to be in the ones and twos, and now I can make a real educated prediction on the first, you know, 4 weeks of the season until adjustments are made.
Yeah, haven't changed anything over the years. It's always the same for me. You know, I'm individually rating each player out. So that transfer, I'm going to rate him out as if he was at USC or Alabama. It just doesn't matter. I'm rating out them by their size, their speed, their experience, any stats that I have on them, and any notes that I've got on those players. So that kid's, he's going to rate out very high because I'm sure he was a five-star athlete, and he's going to probably be an upgrade of 1.5 to 2 points for Fresno State. And then from there, I just have to make adjustments. If Fresno State doesn't play well, if that young man doesn't play well, if he's not in the lineup, obviously I got to take him out and then, you know, readjust the number. So it's just the same process for me over and over again. And that's why I love the transfer portal, because guys like that are moving around everywhere and I know how good they are. The only thing I don't know is, will that team mesh? Does that coach have everybody on that team pulling the rope in the same direction? And if they are, I know I'm going to do well. And I can tell you when coaches are overachieving and when coaches are underachieving, just the fact that I know how good the talent level is, how good that roster is for each team.
Let's close on this one. Alex White, Cofield, Kenny White is up with Cofield and Company. Let's go into the mythical world of coulda, shoulda, woulda, right? Dream Team 2024 looks great on paper. They've been pretty good in all but one exhibition game. There was a story put out by one of our friends, Sam Paniatovich, Fox Sports. He was asking bookmakers around Vegas and elsewhere for a line of a Dream Team against 1992 Dream Team. Can I play a bite here real quick? Griffin, load this up for us. This is Colin Cowherd talking about the Dream Team and kind of down on the original Dream Team.
The 92 Dream Team, Larry Bird was shot. He retired 10 days after the Olympics. You had multiple guys on that team, multiple, who could not handle the ball and who couldn't shoot. Anthony Davis on this team's a much better player than Patrick Ewing. Give me a break. Tatum's much better than Scottie Pippen. LeBron right now is better than Magic was to me at 32 or 33 years old. Our young guys are Ant and Halliburton. Their young guy was Christian Laettner. Give me a break. This team is old men aging very gracefully.
There's a lot in there. I mean, let's play make-believe. What would the Dream Team now do against the 92 Dream Team, and what could the number be?
Yeah, that's the fun thing about ratings. And, you know, over the years, you see the ratings continue to go higher and higher because the athletes continue to get better and better because of the weight room, because of nutrition, because they're focused on it. They've got people helping them get better. Yeah, this team is far superior to that dream team and would probably be 20, 25 point favorite over them. That's how much better athletes are today than that day and age. And then, you know, it's hard to, you know, say something like that when you're talking about a Larry Bird and a Patrick Ewing and how great of players they were. But Colin Coward's right. They were at the end of their career. They were not at the peak of their career. So this team right now is loaded, and the athletes are just better and better. My ratings go up in each sport. I just, you know, have my NFL ratings, and I was thinking they're probably up about 25 points over the last 20 years. So I would make the best team in the NFL right now about a 4-touchdown favorite over a team from 25 years ago. And it's like, you can go back to the Refrigerator Perry when he was over 300 pounds, he was one of three guys over 300 pounds in the league today. There's over 250 players, 300 pounds or more.
I was just going to say, before Alex closes it out, on that point about 300-pounders, the incoming recruits for the Georgia offensive line, the average size of the guys is 6'7", 340 on just one potential college football offensive line down the road. What do you got, Alex?
Well, we're sitting here at Circa enjoying the beautiful view of the stadium swim. Football's right around the corner, and we have big contests coming up. As somebody who has entered contests for quite some time, won the Stardust back-to-back years, did you ever imagine that we would have a contest like the Millions and Survivor that Derek Stevens has done?
Yeah, I really thought that sports betting would just blossom like crazy once it was finally legalized. So I'm expecting something bigger and greater, and Derek Stevens has done a great job and on the forefront of that. So the next great one is going to be, $25 million, $50 million contest. And I can't wait till I've done the DraftKings contest. I love their contest. They've had some problems with it, and that's why they don't do it anymore. I wish they would, because it's so much fun. I would have designed it a little differently than how they did it. Theirs is a little bit more based on luck than it is really skill. There is some skill, but you do got to get lucky to win those kind of contests. And the super contest and the Circa Billions, again, you really got to get lucky and have just an unbelievable season to win those. It's really like hitting the lottery.
Nice job, Kenny. You're very brave there. You're very brave. We are both 50-plus, and you know we're supposed to run with the wolf pack of all the other 50-plussers and say that Ewing was great and this team today sucks and they're soft, and you didn't do it. I like it. I like it.
Well, when you rate individual players out, I know their worth to the betting line, and I see, like I said, my ratings continue to go up and up and up. The shooters in this day and age are so much better than the shooters of 25 years ago. It's not even close.
Kenny, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Alex. Have a great weekend.
There's no room in sports betting for sentimentality.
That's right.
Now, this is an imaginary situation, and I could always throw in – here's the thing. Dream Team Now, Dream Team 92. The parameters here are you're getting the players from that era and how they practice and how they took care of themselves and how they played the game, and they didn't have a primary focus on shooting the three.
Right.
So, like, we can say, oh, well, if they played today, they're not playing today. So they're going to play the game the way they played the game. And the counter from a lot of people, the funny thing is there's people who are like, 35 that we have on the show who are like, the guys back in the 90s would break these guys in half. Don't count on it. Don't count it. Quick break. It's not going to happen anyway. It doesn't matter. We'll come back. Live show here for another 45 minutes. Stadium Swim. We're here every Thursday at Circa Las Vegas.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Cofield, Alex White on a Thursday. Good conversation there with Kenny White about the Fox Sports story by Sam Paniatovich. Bookmakers making the imaginary 2024 Dream Team against 92 Dream Team number head-to-head. pretty small. Kenny made it real big. Real big. We also hit on some college football. And I think college football betting this year could be extremely profitable for those who do the homework. As Kenny suggested, with the transfer portal being so big now, the books keeping up with everyone in college football, every single team, is not that easy. Plus, it's impossible. It's not impossible. It's hard to pinpoint or pick up on the impact of transfers in large numbers without really knowing where they are in fall practice. I think UNLV is actually a really good example. UNLV a year ago, I believe, one, in-game coaching was very good. Technically, they went 3-2 in games that were decided by one score. But that doesn't really tell the whole story, because there were a lot of games that were close at the half or in the third quarter where they pulled away.
Right.
So I think the coaches were outstanding. That go-go is tough to stop. And speaking of the transfer portal and then guys in the program, Alex, they had so many guys on the Rebels not come from out of nowhere. Some did. But become a key cog and play really well. There's really no one who could have predicted that outside of the program to that number.
Right. I mean, knew it was going to be an up year, rebuilding year, really. So for them to do what they did was pretty...
I'll tell you what. I never thought it was a rebuilding year. I thought it was a build-on year.
That's a way better way to put it, yes.
They had gone 5-7 under Marcus Arroyo. They were returning most of the team. The Arroyo teams, unfortunately, were just dreadful in winning close games. Over 3 years, they were 1-10 in one-score games. So that was going to have to flip. There were a lot of dudes that were building blocks. But I didn't – it's not like I came on the air last year and I was like, 10 wins or 9, 8 wins in a bowl game. I didn't say that. I thought, realistic, hey, they can't go backwards from 5 wins. They should win 6 or maybe 7. I did not expect what happened. If you told someone August 1st, hey, just so you know, on the win total for UNLV, the starting quarterback will be down in week 3. That's it. He's done. Go ahead and handicap it.
That's a great point.
Most people would have freaked out.
Yes, absolutely.
But as it turned out, Jade Maava was good, if not better, than Brumfield, and they coached him up, and he was really good in the go-go. I mean, that's one where you're like, the backup quarterback comes in and is better than what you thought the starter was going to be?
Right.
How the hell do you gamble on season win totals when that happens?
So Ricky White actually got to play in the battle for Vegas. He was on the Golden Knights team. I got to talk to him a little bit. Really nice guy, great character. I was chatting with him, and he had so many good things to just say about the culture and the change that Barry Odom has done, and that is why he has stuck around, because he really believed in it. And that means so much, and that is kind of what my dad was just talking about, really knowing what coaches you can trust and if they have their guys willing to run through a wall for them.
Or Ricky White could have been a guy who's like, all right, Arroyo brought me here. Now, it's going to be very Devontae-like, by the way. Now, it's a quarter into the season. The team's doing okay, quarter into the season. Wait, Brumfield's out? You know that school that has been calling my dad and messages have been coming to me about moving on? One foot could be out the door.
Right.
By the way, Boise had a guy like that. Their best receiver bailed when things got rough with Avalos and was out of the program for the last 3-4 games of the year. Ricky White was another one. If you try to predict what kind of season he was going to have, last year he went 88 catches, 1,483 yards. The year before, he had 51-619 and 4 touchdowns. And it's not just a number jump. I'm telling you, there were times in the season 2 seasons ago where you're like, Ricky is not secure with the ball. He's making big catches over the middle. He's getting popped and fumbling. He's got a drop issue. Like, he advanced so much. That's another guy. So that's two players. The Mountain West Conference Freshman of the Year, Offensive Freshman of the Year in Maava, and Ricky White, who so went over the top. And we don't have to go too hardcore today on UNLV, but I'm just trying to paint it as an example of trying to bet college football. If you don't have a really good tie into what transfers could do, it's hard to predict. And the other thing is, I tracked it. We were talking to Barry Odom last week, and I put the number at, I tracked 9 guys out of the portal last year that UNLV had into the program for the first year who were impact players on the 1 or the 2 line, you know, first string or second string. That's a lot of guys.
Yeah.
They're starting center. I'm going to mention this forever. The other one, what position is really vital in close games?
It's the kicker.
They got a transfer kicker, Alex, and Jose Pisano, who wasn't just good, he was the Lou Groza finalist, the top 3 kicker in the country. That's your quarterback, your kicker, and your number 1 receiver. Holy crap.
So what I'm taking from this, kind of, is looking at college football this year, I mean, kind of hone in on what conference or a couple conferences and get really in-depth in them, try and figure out with transfer portals, right, instead of trying to tackle everything from a betting standpoint, especially if you're just jumping in. But
I would specialize on a conference, and then I would try to make sure I got some hooks or I'm really following some beat writers who are honest at programs around the country and find out what's going on at the key positions, but especially quarterback. Because I'm not saying they're going to sit there and DM you, right? Some rando in Vegas, and I'm a rando in Vegas, right? But there are things that happen at the quarterback position where, like at Texas, I think they have a solid pecking order. And listen, the backup's pretty good, Arch Manning. Now, I would love to find out in camp that Arch Manning is destroying the play of Quinn Ewers, which I don't think it'll be. Like, he made a big jump in his second year, and, like, the whispers are, this is not sourced, I'm making this up, but that Arch Manning's going to take over for Quinn Ewers, and he's better. Or, you know, like at Ohio State, they made a big, you know, bidding effort to go get Will Howard, and then they're 3 weeks in to fall practice, and there's kind of whispers around the program, like, this ain't what we paid for. He ain't that good.
Right. That's that one.
So.
It's stuff you need to know for sure.
Yes, yes. I would have told people, and I've actually, if you really follow me on Twitter, I shouldn't even say this because now people are going to look and go, I want the nuggets, and the staff will be like, don't give out the nuggets. I will tell you, a couple years ago, I tried to lay it out for people. Like, this is a wacky example, but I tried to lay it out for people what I was seeing in fall camp in the pecking order of the quarterback. So, and I'm not going to say outright, because I don't know. I'm not a coach. So I could be seeing one thing and I don't see all of it. So, but good insiders, I think, will give you nuggets. But yeah, I mean, betting games this year, I wouldn't get too fired up about a brand new quarterback in a system, even if they're on a powerhouse team. I mean, maybe they cover 35 in a particular game, but maybe they struggle because the quarterback and the rest of his offense, you know, aren't in tune.
I got to get caught up on Mountain West. I cannot believe you said 10 new first-year head coaches.
Well, Mountain West has a bunch of them, but then UNLV also added to the non-con. They've got Utah Tech, new head coach. Syracuse has Fran Brown, new head coach. Kansas has an experienced guy in Leipold, but Houston moved on from Holgerson to Willie Fritz from Tulane. It's a new head coach. He's good, but I don't know how it's going to be instant,
right,
at Houston. And then in conference, you're talking about teams. You have 2 teams that lost their head coach in the last 2 weeks on the schedule, Fresno State and Utah State. San Diego State has a new head coach, and Sean Lewis. So one more thing on the odds, and I'll read them one more time in the Mountain West. UNLV is a third choice. Boise's even money. Remember, Danielson now is the full-time coach. They have 1 experienced quarterback in Maddox Mattson. They have another guy competing for it who is a redshirt freshman, top 5 quarterback recruit in the country to USC, and now he's at Boise, who wins the job. And how does it play out early in the season? By the time UNLV plays, I think they'll have settled on someone, but maybe they're still splitting quarterbacks at that point. Boise's even. Fresno, with not their head coach, it's Tim Skipper, who's, you know, UNLV and Fresno guy, but I don't know if he's, you know, it's going to be a smooth transition. Should be. 4-1, UNLV's 550. Colorado State with a lot of people back. That's the other thing I would look for is, you know, second, third, fourth-year coaches. and how they do against all these first-year coaches. So Jay Norvell's been building a couple of years now.
Right.
So Norvell and Colorado State 12-1. And I this to me, this is if I can get 10-1 or higher in Air Force, I'm betting that.
Wow.
They're the same. They're interchangeable. They have this. It's like same type of players, same positions, same offense, same challenge on defense. They're 12-1. Yeah.
It's a good point. What did they finish last year? Their record was...
Well, they wound up fading a little bit. And remember, that was another one. You know, we talk about UNLV. Can they be better than 9 wins or are they going to be worse? That was one of the games that was a close game. That yes. UNLV just had a terrible time in the middle of the game and looked like they were dead in the water. And then they made the comeback. And then
that was
they scored down the stretch. And then they got multiple stops on the goal line. I was sitting in that stadium's crazy. And it was really full that day with a bunch of the cadets. I was sitting there in the end zone, and they're on the doorstep. I think they're on, like, the 8-yard line. They got at least 4 plays. Goal to go. But I'm sitting there, and I'm like, UNLV's not winning this. There's no way they can stop these guys, right? I mean, they just haven't had the history, and they stopped them.
Yeah. But I remember watching that game.
Coin flip game.
And Air Force was undefeated until Army, I believe.
I think they started 8-0, and then, yeah, they got upset by Army. And then they had some injury issues, but they'll be back. They'll be strong.
I think that's a good bet.
I mean, it's just that we were talking about Major League Baseball earlier about teams that are going to have good second halves and make the playoffs and make some noise. People forget, and this is a very elementary. Baseball season is incredibly long. There's players injured all over the place. Players can get injured. Like, I don't want to bet the Dodgers because the odds just don't. There's no value there, but and you can't rely on players coming back, but they do have a lot of players who are on deck to return.
Right.
Like their pitching staff could have a completely different look. It also could fall apart like it did last year. The returnees come back and they can't stay healthy. Are you betting the Dodgers to win the World Series?
Am I getting plus money right now?
We'll punch it up. I think the Yankees and Dodgers numbers are too low. I'll give you an example.
I mean, the Phillies... Which, I let's do, see I, how their I, second half...
Yep.
But...
Well, the other thing I will handicap baseball on, another part of it is, all right, where are they going to be come September? Are they getting injured players back? Have they had players underperform? Can I trust them to trade for what they need to trade for? Phillies? Yes.
Yep.
They're aggressive. I'll give you a story we never got to yesterday on the air, but... John Von Tobel was in. John had something really cool going on down here at Circa. They were doing a blackjack tournament for a lot of the high rollers, and they let some of the guys from VSIN into the blackjack tournament. Depending on where you finish in the blackjack tournament, you would get a draft slot to take any baseball team at their odds to win the World Series. So if you finish first and you got a certain number of bucks to bet and... People would be like, Yankees, Dodgers, you got to take one. No, maybe I don't. Maybe I want to go for the gusto.
Right. I would definitely go middle. Like, not too long shot. Someone looking out of the wild card. I'd want somebody that already had pretty much locked up a division.
He was in the fifth slot.
Okay.
So try to imagine who'd be available and then who you take. He asked me.
Okay.
He's not going to bet based on what I said. I suggested the Astros and the Braves. I figured they'd be available. Keep in mind, the Astros got off to a terrible start. Now they're on fire.
Yeah, but it was building for a while. They had the best batting average for quite some time before they actually started all hitting together and having runners on base. So,
but it did
I
look
like
completely depressing, Alex,
it did.
With the pitching staff. And then as of about 2-3 weeks ago, they lost more guys for the year. But I believe in that organization. And another thing I believe in is if they need help, they will go get it. And who do you think is their best player? Is it clearly Altuve or Alvarez? Because there's a third guy who's barely played this year.
Who's that?
Kyle Tucker.
Oh.
Right? He's a... 2,510 guy with, you know, steals, pretty good defense.
Yep.
He hasn't played, so he's coming back. Fingers crossed. right? So, yeah, I suggested the Astros, and I suggested, just like Kenny White did, the Braves. Because I trust in the Braves organization to have reinforcements. Right now, they've had major injuries. Obviously, when you lose a 30-70 guy in Acuna, that's not going to be easy to replace. But they've had Michael Harris, our outfielder, out for a while. They're going to try Eddie Rosario for a little bit here. Might not work out. And if they need an outfielder, what are the Braves going to do?
Get an outfielder. And their pitching staff has been pretty good even without Strider. So, I mean, they're still up there.
Yep. Yeah, Astros are 16-1 to win the World Series. Guardians 16. Kenny White said Mariners are 18. Orioles are plus 775. Twins are 18. Yankees are plus 725. Dodgers, you asked about value, plus 350.
Plus 350.
No, thank you. And Phillies have dropped down a lot, actually. They're or moved up a lot. They're plus 375.
Wow.
So, anyone I didn't mention? Well, all you got to do is get on the dance floor. Anyone want to bank on the Mets making big additions?
Hey, I wouldn't. What are the Mets right now?
Right around 500. And what are the odds?
Yeah.
50. You're looking intrigued.
A little intrigued. See, this is a little extreme for me to make a futures bet to win the World Series. I would go usually division.
Okay.
Or make the playoffs if you can find plus money with one of these teams we're talking about. But it is interesting. And for JVT to actually be in that contest and have to look at this and decide, it's very interesting.
Red Sox are 35. They're 11 over 500. Biggest surprise in baseball, probably.
I would say so.
And yeah, the Mets are 49 and 46. So Red Sox 35-1, and who else? There was someone else here. I was just looking at. There was a 50. There was a 50-1. Yeah, I'm losing it now. But anyway. Yeah, Mets 50. Padres 45-1.
I'm not taking the Padres.
No?
No.
You're not buying the Pod Squad? They could make some moves.
They could. And we did see a glimpse of them getting hot, but.
And the other team, I blanked on for a second. Royals are 45-1. I don't think I'm buying it. Good pitching staff. Good bullpen. Good pitching staff. But will that pitching staff be able to go the entire season? Seth Lugo's never done it. You know, been able to last like 28 starts. He's been awesome.
Yes, he has.
So, I'm rocking. I mean, I guess I should probably bet the exacta for the matchup.
Whoa.
Astros
okay.
And Braves. If the Astros are in the AL, right? I can't. It's been like 25 years. I still forget. It's not good. Not good at all. Circus Sports here on a Thursday. We'll come back. Got a couple of WNBA notes, and then there are odds up on the board. Why be so negative? Everyone's got hope. Everyone's got dreams, but there are odds up on the boards in faraway places. In the NFL, which coach, head coach, could be the first one on the chopping block?
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
I'm going to say this. I'm not bashing on it. If you love the sport, it's cool. I don't know, especially because of the time that I'm going to watch the British Open. You're going to watch it. And did you watch it last night?
I love golf. I did not watch it yesterday.
You play?
Yeah, I just started about a year or two ago, though. So I'm very beginner. But I love watching golf as well, especially Sundays when it's coming down to the wire. So that I will be watching.
What happened today with Rory?
Wow. Not sure.
Disaster plus seven?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I just thought was interesting, and I had Rory to make top 10.
Oh, no.
He's been in good form, but with the whole Tiger Woods drama, I just think it's interesting because Tiger, they were almost the same, seven over, and then Tiger bogeyed on the last one, so eight over. But, I mean, he can play for as long as he wants. In my opinion, if he can still.
Yeah, of all the guys, especially for American fans and maybe even British fans, for all the guys to chime in who are like, you know what, it might be the end of the road, Tig. I want to walk away. Colin Montgomery is probably not the best guy to do it. It's not going to be received well. Come on.
Yeah.
Does he need to retire, or is it cool if he plays some events and plays the majors? He's earned the majors. He's earned the exemptions.
I think it's cool if he does. He's going to go play golf anyways, right? Why not just take a shot and play with the best in the world right now and see where you are?
And Colin Montgomery was such a loathe is a strong word, but I don't know. He always felt like just – he was kind of the – I guess for people who liked him, he was – loser is a strong word, but like a lovable loser. And then his physique. And so I mentioned there are odds out there in faraway places. We got about 40 seconds left. First NFL head coach fired. Saleh tops the list at 5-1. McCarthy 6-1. Are you thinking anyone's going to get fired in season?
So there was somebody that jumped out to me. I'm trying to find this list, but they were way down. They were 25-1. Who are you seeing?
Matt LaFleur. Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson.
Really?
No, I don't think he's going to. But
Sean
McVay,
Mike Tomlin, Mike McDaniel, Jonathan Gannon, Zach Taylor, Sean Payton, Sean McDermott, 12-1.
Looking at the odds. That's who you think?
Outside chance. I don't think the Bills organization does that. Thanks to Circa today for housing the show. Get on out here anytime you can to Stadium Swim. We'll see you.